Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
And we'll have a two-hour show ahead of Sam Levitt's pregame, and then Tony and Jesse with the call of tonight's game between the Padres and the Cubs. We can hear Tony.
He can't hear us.
Yes, he's singing.
Can you hear us?
He's trying to get our attention. There
that
we
was
go.
So weird. You were on the air going, I can't hear you.
Yes, he was. And while he was saying that, I was saying, Tony Gwynn, the greatest
human
co-host
being
anybody
world
could
has
ever
seen.
Have. Yeah, and he missed it.
Is that right?
You missed it, so I'm not saying it again.
That's okay.
Speaking of greatness, the National League West continues to be absurdly great. The Arizona Diamondbacks, who are in fourth place, but have the fourth best record overall in baseball, were trailing the Cubs today 7-1 going into the eighth inning. The Diamondbacks have just scored 10 runs in the eighth inning. Grand slam.
Put a 10 spot.
Put a 10 up there. Eugenio started it with a grand slam, and Lourdes Gurriel finished it with a three-run homer.
We said the Cubs' underbelly was
the
bullpen.
Yeah.
And it is underbellying right now.
It took a beating in the eighth inning. So right now, 11-7, Arizona leads the Cubs as they try to keep the NL West great. Tony Gwynn Jr. down in Houston. Padres have been great. And we'll see where they go tonight as they start against the Astros. And, you know, you send Kyle Hart out here tonight. I think this is a start that I'm interested in. He pitched, fairly well, I thought, in his debut. Got the win, five innings in his first start there. And then, didn't have a great start in Chicago. And then he just completely shut down the Rockies, which is good, but it is the Rockies. So I think tonight, let me see him against a Houston team on the road. I think this isn't a make or break. I don't mean it that way. But I'm curious to see how he does tonight.
Yeah, I think, the Astros, I was kind of going over some of the notes here in front of me. They are on a 13-game streak of alternating wins and losses. One short of the record, which is 14. So,
They've had 13 games where they've gone win loss win loss win loss. Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so which isn't great for today if that's going to hold, because that means they're due for a win today because they lost.
Well, then the Padres can mess this all up today.
Right. So yes. The Padres can kind of
stave off history, Padres.
Yeah. Prevent them from history here.
I can imagine that this will all be part of Manny Machado's pregame pep talk to the boys. We've got to stop history from happening.
The Astros haven't seen a lot of left-handed pitching this season. I think this is the third one they've seen all season, and so we'll see. I think he has meaning Kyle has had a mixed bag. He's had a decent start. He's had a tough one, and he's had a really good one. whether, you know, we can throw the teams that were involved in it, if that actually matters or not. We'll find out today. But all in all, regardless of how Kyle has thrown the ball, the Padres have played some pretty good baseball. And sometimes, you know, you have a day where a pitcher may not have his best up. You got to put up some runs. Padres have shown the ability to do that at times. So we'll see how this one goes. I don't think, you know, we haven't seen a lot. I don't know if, how much of the Astros have that you've seen, but I haven't seen a ton of them. But so we'll get to kind of learn this team in particular over the course of these next three games.
Yes, we'll get to see Jose Altuve in his new position out in left field. It's a team
hasn't that stopped his bat at this point.
Right. This guy, talk about how does he hit, Tony? He's only like 5 foot two, you know, 150 pounds soaking wet. This guy's
take my shirt off.
Don't take my shirt off. He's an MVP, a former MVP of the whole league. You know, I mean, this is, and he's one of the best postseason statistical performers we've ever had.
We all know why.
Okay, well, all right, then I won't ask Tony, since you're just going to say that it's because
of
that.
How it's going to go?
The man has some skill.
Of course.
When he's in the batter's box, and he's a tough out. He just has always been that way. So, you know, do you like this guy, Tony? Are you a fan?
Yeah. I mean, listen, man, Jose has always had a knack for hitting. I remember when he was a young dude coming up in the league for the Astros. Before the Astros, back when they were still wearing the, like, burgundy uniforms that they used to have.
Yeah.
He's always been a good hitter. And you watch him now, I mean, not a whole lot's changed. I mean, this dude's got over 2,000 hits. Just think about that.
Does,
I mean, he's got 2,255.
Yeah.
And we're highlighting Manny, who's approaching 2,000. You know what I'm saying?
Right, so he's past that, yeah.
He's beyond that at this point. He's on his way to 500 doubles. He's got 432 of those. I mean, he's got some crazy numbers. I mean, shoot, he's got 232 homers. I mean, I don't know if he could get the 300, but it ain't completely out of the realm considering what he does.
232 home runs. Yeah, Scraby's going to chalk all those up to illegal.
Don't take my shirt off.
Matters, but here's something also that I don't think people realize. He doesn't do this as often anymore. This guy once stole 56 bags in a year. Led
to
the league.
That point.
Yeah, he led
to
the league
point.
2 years in a row. He stole over 300 in his career. So he to does that, it always.
To that point, guys with 2,000 hits, 400 doubles, 200 homers, 300 bags.
Yeah.
And a career average of 300. There's a handful. Not even a handful. Jeter, Molitor, Mays, Alomar, Altuve.
Wow. Good group. 306 yeah. career. You're right, Tony. 306 career batting average. Altuve. And here's one last thing that Gwynn can appreciate. He's played his whole career with one team.
One team.
You don't see that very often any longer. He's been with the Astros since the age of 21. And he's 35 now. So anyway, he'll be in left field as they've moved him out there. We'll take a look at a young pitcher, Ryan Gusto, tonight. Right-hander to face the Padres and making his second career start this evening. I did see, and I knew this was going to happen, so it's happened. First tweet that I saw that said, you know, the Padres have only played against teams that have a combined winning percentage of .398.
Those are jealous fans, Chris.
So they haven't proven anything to anybody yet. To that, I say, well, you're including the fact that the Braves are bad in that statistic. And I don't think the Braves are bad.
I'm willing to bet that they're not even looking at that, Chris. I'm willing to bet that they haven't looked at any baseball. They're strictly just adding up these win percentages. Because had they looked at actual games, right, they'd have to then ask themselves, do you not think the Cubs are a good team? Do you think the Cleveland Guardians are going to be terrible all season? Do you think the Braves are going to be terrible all season? You know, I think somebody who's tweeting that or putting that out there hasn't actually watched the game.
I agree. The Padres, whoever they're playing against, you can't say that they're not playing really good baseball. And that's all you can do. They're pitching great. They're hitting timely. They're running the bases. They're making the right plays. That's all they can do. They don't worry about the schedule. Tonight puts them in Houston, where the Astros are actually under 500. So I guess we should just assume this is a gimme, you know, based on the schedule. And, of course, right. we don't do that. So, yeah, I will say this. I've been impressed with what I've seen by the Giants, though. They just went to Philadelphia and went to Yankee Stadium. And seven. I know they lost yesterday to the Phillies, but that's a pretty good road trip when you consider going into those two places. So,
are you saying you're starting to believe a little bit now in terms of that team being an actual factor?
I'm saying I was impressed with what they did over the last seven games. I think
that's a way of saying yes without saying yes.
Did I wiggle my way out of that? I'm saying that yeah, the Giants are pretty, you know, off to a great. Wilmer Flores, especially, and Young Hoo Lee, the center fielder, is I think he's got the second best OPS in baseball right now.
Hey, I like
so,
I like
those guys
him.
Have been okay.
He's fun if you he's fun to watch play. Lee is he can ball, man. He's got way more thump than I think people initially thought that he was gonna have, and he can play his butt off in center field. Like he can go get it.
Yeah, so, man, I mean, they missed him the whole last year. He got hurt really early in the year. So
they did. The division is not one to be played with right now, I think.
For sure. I think if any team's going to slip off the pace, it would be the Giants. But because I don't think all four teams can keep playing 700 baseball. It just isn't seem realistic. But,
is it
you know,
even
who knows?
Possible?
Like, is no, there, because is, they're going to play each other enough, right?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. They got to play each other enough to where it could, even if everything worked out right, not everybody could play at a 700 clip, right? We play each other too much.
Yeah. So, but they haven't. Nobody's played each other yet. Out of those four teams, there's not been a single series
yet.
I
want to share this theory.
Yeah.
You know how much I dislike this particular schedule.
Of course.
I think if you're going to do it, you should have either all of the games be played in the last 2 months of the season, or maybe get one series April for like a taster, and then the rest of them in the back end of the schedule, so that it actually has an impact. It could actually have an impact in a different way, and all those games would be super meaningful at the end.
It is. I love that, but I don't love the. I don't think there's any way to honestly do it correctly because there's just not enough games. You don't play the Giants and the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks enough.
You can make it work.
Well, you can make it work, but like you just okay. So you're gonna play the Dodgers right at the beginning in April, and then not see them again till September. That isn't exactly, you know, what I'm looking for either. So,
but there's more drama at the end of the year.
Well, they should play at the end. Look, the Padres play the Giants two games when they come home. Tuesday, Wednesday, April 29th, 30th. They don't play the Diamondbacks or the Dodgers until that Dodger series on June 9th.
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
Yes,
it just
and then
is.
I don't think they play him in September.
Yeah, the schedule stinks, but it is you play
right.
who you
they
play.
They don't play them in September.
Yeah, you play play.
So. They got four against the Rocks, though. That's good.
you'll have that in the back of your mind going into September.
They got a tough September. They
all right,
got
hey, it was 213. Just wanted to
yeah, you
know.
Just did that to me, Scraby. I was about to say goodbye. Now do we have five more minutes?
No, go. It's okay.
Three-run homer, Carson Kelly. It's now 11-10. Crazy wow. game at Wrigley. More Gwynn and Chris as we get rolling.
Kyle Tucker just hit a home run, too.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests. Proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
All right, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. 2:17 is the time. This game at Wrigley Field has taken on a life of its own. Just while we were in break, Kyle Tucker hit a two-run homer, and Seiya Suzuki followed with a solo shot. So, the eighth inning alone in this game has seen four home runs and 16 total runs scored. I'm sorry, five home runs and 16 runs in the eighth inning alone.
What did I just miss?
You missed another home run. That's what I'm saying. The Diamondbacks were down 7-1 going into the eighth inning. The Diamondbacks scored 10 runs. Eugenio Suarez hit a grand slam. Lourdes Gurriel hit a three-run homer. So the Diamondbacks took an 11-7 lead. But in the bottom of the eighth, Carson Kelly, three-run homer, his second of the game, by the way. Kyle Tucker, two-run homer. Seiya Suzuki, solo shot. And now the Cubs lead 13-11, and they're still batting in the bottom of the eighth inning. This is a crazy game. It's a, you know, Wrigley Field special. The funny thing was it was 2-1 after six innings. And now it's 13-11. So either the wind turned around, or guys are just making some bad pitches. But one way or another, this has turned into one of the crazier games of the early season. I will add this, Scraby. The Diamondbacks scored 10 runs in the eighth inning of this game. They are about to lose the game. How often has that happened in Major League history where a team had a 10-run inning but didn't win?
I can't
imagine it's ever, happened more than a handful of times, if at all.
That is,
and I don't know how we're going to find that stat out. I know you're good at finding crazy stats out.
I don't know if I can find that one.
Yeah, I don't know if we can find that. But the Diamondbacks put 10 runs up in the eighth inning, and now they're losing 13-11. We'll keep you up to date on that. Gwen and Chris, underway for a good Friday. Happy days to everybody out there, and I know a lot of people are probably getting off work or already off work, getting around and hopefully enjoying the show. You will be enjoying an interview with Jason Adam, our Friar Friday guest, coming up in about 20 minutes. He's one of my favorite Padres to interview.
He's great.
It's a long list. I mean, the Padres have good guys.
They have
just in
personable
general
guys. They have good personality guys.
Yeah, right. Any other team doesn't, but I just know the Padre guys, and they're good guys. And Jason Adams is on that list. So he'll join us at about 2:40 today. We're getting into – Tony's off because the game's starting pretty soon. He's already down getting his pregame stuff done. But we'll have Sam Levitt's pregame show at 4, and then – game time, a little after 5 o'clock tonight. Mike Schilt was on the morning show with Ben and Woods today, as he always is on Friday morning. We'll hear some stuff from the manager's report, refreshed by EcoWater SoCal. That's coming up in a little while as well. So we've got a lot to do. I was out shopping myself this morning, Scraby.
What?
Yeah, a little shopping, market.
Like grocery shopping.
Yeah, no, I wasn't buying,
You weren't trying on,
shirts
and pants and all that?
I don't do that.
You don't try on the stuff?
I wait for free stuff to come in.
Oh, me too.
Pretty much.
So.
I don't. My wife does all the clothes stuff, you know.
Yeah.
In fact, this is a normal occurrence in our family.
You do the grocery shopping, she does the clothes.
No, not true. She does most of the groceries as well.
Oh, wow.
But, no, when it comes to clothes, here's the common occurrence. Lori goes clothes shopping with her mom usually. And then I get a FaceTime call about an hour in. And then she holds up like four shirts and asks if I like any of them. That's how I shop for clothes, okay. Right there. She holds them up and I say, okay, that, or no.
That's not terrible.
That's how that works. So, but anyway, I was at Costco today getting some stuff. Does anybody have a job anymore in San Diego?
I think a lot of people work from home.
There were 30,000 people alone at Costco today in
That's
Mission Valley.
That's
I mean, I don't know how many people, but Scraby, the line was all the way almost to the back of the store on a Friday morning. I'm like, doesn't anybody go to work anymore?
It's a big weekend.
I guess
to stock
that, right,
up Easter's before Easter.
Coming up. Yeah, I guess that's what I got caught in.
You know,
I was really surprised that many people were out on a Friday morning.
I love Costco. I love free samples, but the amount of people there makes me not want to go there. Because I never go to a Costco when it's not busy. It's always busy.
Well,
it's always a madhouse.
If you want to know how busy it is, go when they open or a half hour before they open. And there's already a line into the parking lot waiting for them to open the doors.
I can't be that person.
I am that person sometimes.
Do you do? Do they still do lots of free samples? Because I know that they stopped that a little bit after COVID.
They do. They do some free samples. Carson Kelly is up right now, and I'm going back to this crazy game. He's already homered twice. It's still the bottom of the eighth inning. He's up with the bases loaded. If he hits a grand slam, and the way this game is going, it wouldn't surprise me. Then both teams could conceivably score 10 runs in the eighth inning.
I bet you that has never happened.
We'll find out if it does here in a moment. Cubs do lead the Diamondbacks 13-11. Arizona scored 10 in the top of the eighth. Cubs have 6 in the bottom of the eighth and the bases loaded. So if he does this, like, okay, baseball is certifiable.
Certifiable.
Speaking of predicting home runs, did you see a post today? Maybe the post was yesterday, but Jason Stark posted something. And what he was posting was a pat on the back to our own Jesse Agler.
Really?
And apparently here's what happened. Carson Kelly did not hit a grand slam, so the Cubs end up with the 6-run inning. But here's what happened. You remember the other night when Manny was up against the Cubs?
Yeah.
And popped up, and they dropped the ball?
Yes.
Then he popped up again, and they dropped the ball?
Yes.
Okay. And I said at the time, and I think a lot of people felt, never really seen that before, where you know, a team drops two pop-ups on the same batter in the same at-bat.
Pretty rare.
Pretty rare, if ever. But what was more rare was that Manny would go on to hit a home run. Well, apparently, Jesse kind of called it. Because he was sitting there doing the broadcast, and he said, according to Jason Stark's post, Manny just is still alive, and here's what Jesse, I'm quoting Jesse, basically. Jesse said, he's alive because of two foul pop-ups. Baseball's crazy. Now he'll probably hit a home run. And the next pitch is when he hit the home run.
I did hear this, actually.
So good job by you, Jesse, man. He was on it. But this is one of the things I like about Jesse, among a lot of stuff. He enjoys the minutia-type fun, crazy stuff of baseball like I do. And he loves that the fact that this guy has a chance to hit a home run and make this just really weird.
He did this last year when they clinched the playoff spot against the Dodgers.
Oh, that's right. He said, wouldn't a triple play be something?
Yeah, he would be like, yeah, they can ask for, they can get a triple play, but that would be asking for a lot. And then literally next thing that happened was a triple play.
Yeah, Jesse.
So maybe he's a clairvoyant.
Well, all we need him to do now is, you know, when we get into mid-September, is say something like, you know, we could really use a World Series title around here.
Yes.
You know, I mean, if you're going to go for it, go for it. I say go all the way. So
if you aren't listening to Jesse and Tony on the radio, you're missing out.
They're fun to listen to. They're really fun to listen to, and they do an amazing job. There's no question about that. All right. Padres, Astros, we're a little ways away from that. The NBA playoffs start this weekend. We will touch on some of that in our Daily Gambit, which I we're going to get into here in the next little while. We got a lot to get done, so we'll try to squeeze that in. But the Lakers opening up against Minnesota tomorrow afternoon, or tomorrow early evening, I guess it is. I think it's a let me make sure the time of that. Is it 4 o'clock tomorrow? Now I lost the page, so I'm not going to be able to find out that quickly.
Are you talking about Padres?
No, I'm talking about the Laker game tomorrow. Oh. Here it is. They play the T-Wolves at 5:30 tomorrow evening. So NBA playoffs, there's a couple play-in games tonight. Miami at Atlanta, Dallas at Memphis. Got to say I'm kind of rooting for Dallas because now that they're in the playoffs, Nico Harrison, the GM, is taking, again, endless crap. They're never going to leave this guy alone.
I was going to go, can we please stop? Can we please stop talking about this now?
He, you don't have to agree with it. He wanted Anthony Davis to play along with Kyrie, and he wanted to make a run with a bunch of big guys and try to win a title this year. It may have happened, but Anthony Davis got hurt, and then Kyrie is knocked out for the season. So I think it's incredibly just unfair to continue to criticize the guy. He made a trade. You don't like it. Shut up.
I think you can criticize the guy, but you got to let it go after a while.
Right. It's been 3 months ago.
Yeah, and every time he's shown on TV, they have to talk about it. Like, he did possibly make one of the worst trades in sports history.
It may work out that way.
But it could also go in the other way. What if Dallas does win a championship? Fans are even saying, Chris, when they traded Luka, that they wouldn't even care if Dallas won a championship, which is crazy.
When Luka was in Dallas a couple weeks ago with that Laker game, every time Luka made a basket, they showed Nico Harrison standing there watching
the
game.
It's pretty ridiculous.
It was enough for me. So I'm kind of rooting for Dallas tonight, just give a little relief to that poor GM there with the Mavericks. All right, Cubs, Diamondbacks, nothing yet in the ninth inning for the Diamondbacks. We'll get you a final when we come back and have a visit with Jason Adam, the Padres reliever, on Gwynn and Curry.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris, the crazy game at Wrigley Field is over. Diamondbacks got a two-out double in the ninth from Alec Thomas, but Corbin Carroll flew out to end it.
Good.
Yeah, right. A little help in the division. Finally, a team in the division loses a game other than the Rockies. Diamondbacks fall to the Cubs 13-11. I've got Scraby trying desperately to find out.
I don't think I'm going to.
Yeah, I don't even think you are either. But if anybody hears this stat or, you know, comes across it. The Diamondbacks scored 10 runs in the eighth inning of this game to take the lead, but the Cubs came back with 6 in the bottom of the eighth. That will be one of the higher scoring innings you'll ever see, right? 16 innings. But just the fact that the Diamondbacks lost a game in which they had a 10-run inning, I think is very crazy, even for baseball.
33 combined hits in this game. That is a lot of hits.
33 hits. Oh, in that inning?
Combined in the entire game.
It seemed like it was all in that inning. Because the score was 2-1 after six innings.
Yeah.
And then the final score was 13-11.
And the Cubs had three errors. It's hard to win when you have three errors.
Not when you score 13. You can make three errors. Carson Kelly hit two homers. Kyle Tucker hit a go-ahead homer. Seiya Suzuki homered. On the other side, Eugenio Suarez hit a grand slam, and Lourdes Gurriel hit a three-run homer, both in the same inning. But it wasn't enough for Arizona, which falls further off the pace in the National League West. Padres and Astros coming up this evening. Sam Levitt pregame show at about 4 o'clock. And then
4:10 to be exact.
4:10, okay, thank you. You can set your watch by that. And then 5:10 will be the beginning of the game.
Last time I remember them going to Houston, I'm sure they've gone to Houston since then, but I was on Padres pre and post, and it was that game where Fernando hit the home run up into the train tracks.
He basically
hit it out of the stadium, which was pretty amazing. And it was also the game where the first baseman, I can't remember who it was at the time, dropped a foul ball that would have ended the game.
For the Padres?
It would have ended the game for the Padres.
I know who it was.
Who was it?
It was Hosmer. He came running down.
No, I'm sorry. Oh, on the other game. Side. I think Will Myers was up, and he hit one.
Oh.
And the guy didn't catch it near the fence, and it kept things going, and Ryan Pressly ended up getting taking the L for that.
Oh, that I don't recall, but I do recall Hosmer losing a ball up there in the
I do recall that too.
Roof. Came running in from first base and dropped right in front of home plate.
And that was the end of the game.
They lost that game.
I do remember that one.
And, you know, the legend of Eric Hosmer love continued here. Padres lineup is out. We know Jackson Merrill is not on the road trip, so he's not going to be back. Jake's not back yet. Brandon Lockridge isn't back yet. But the lineup is pretty much what you would think. Fernando's leading it off. Arise, Machado, Xander, Gavin Sheets batting fifth. Iglesias at second base. Jason Hayward has left field tonight. Tyler Wade did a great job in center the other day. As Tony said, they're going to be able to live with Hayward and Wade in center field for as long as they can live with it.
As long as he's still going 2-for-2 and getting on base
four
times.
If he does that, yeah. Martin Maldonado's catching tonight for Kyle Hart. The Astros are not the same Astros. They don't have Kyle Tucker, but they do have a guy that can single-handedly win a game by himself. I think he's one of the best hitters in the league. That's Yordan, yeah. He's in there. Christian Walker, who has not really yet clicked.
He's been bad.
He's been bad, but he's done things against the Padres in the past. They also have a former Rocky on that team, Brendan Rodgers. So Ryan Gusto, rookie, starts for the Astros tonight.
You know what we haven't brought up about someone on that team?
Hmm.
We haven't brought up that Josh Hader is on the other side tonight.
Josh Hader's on the other side, and Yuli Gurriel is on this side.
Oh, there we go. There's so many storylines, Chris.
Incredible.
There's a massive amount of storylines.
All right. Our storyline is that we're going to be visiting with Jason Adam, the Padre reliever, here shortly. I tweeted this out, but all Jason Adam has done since he has come to the Padres is go 5-0. This is last year and this year combined. 5-0, 0.97 ERA, and how about a 0.838 on the whip?
That's pretty good.
So nobody gets on base, nobody scores, and you go into the ninth inning. I mean, that's basically what happens when he comes into a game.
Doesn't exist for teams.
He's made it that way, and he's a terrific guy. We'll talk to him in just a minute here. The Padres come into the game, Scraby, doing pretty well in a lot of categories. I think one category that people would be surprised to know is that coming into the game tonight, the number one hitting team in Major League Baseball, batting average, is the Padres. 276. It's better than any team in the league. We've talked about their pitching, base running, defense, bullpen. I think a lot of people think the offense has not been great. You know, it's been a little inconsistent. Well,
this year?
A little. I mean, it's the one thing that hasn't stood out right?
Their offense?
It's not the first thing you talk about. I mean, you talk about
the pitching
and bullpen and defense and base running and managing and close games. And
if people think the offense is struggling, they need to rewatch things.
Well, look, they're not hitting home runs. 19 with 16 of them being solo shots.
But does it matter?
It doesn't when you can make up for it by having the best batting average in baseball. And then on top of that, stealing 24 bases out of 27. So you're getting hits, and then the runners are moving. And so this is why they've been effective. I just think it's interesting. If you ask somebody who's got the best batting average in the league, you wouldn't think it would be the Padres.
I
don't think.
I think maybe I would guess them because last year they ended up at the top of the league in batting average. I think
it was the first time they ever did that.
In history.
Franchise history. Yes.
So it's just a little bit of a carryover. But yeah, you're right. No one's going to be like, yeah, the Padres are the team.
It's not the number one thing you're thinking about. And when you talk about the home runs with only 19, their OPS, which is kind of the slugging and everything put together, is fourth best in baseball. Yankees, Diamondbacks, Cubs are the only three ahead of them.
I'll take some doubles.
You got 32 of them.
I'll take those.
How many triples you have this year?
Zero.
Correct. Still zero. They and the Reds, I believe, are the only teams in baseball yet to triple. I don't know. These are the fun things that I like.
Oh, I think that's cool.
I bet you Jesse Agler's aware of it.
Probably.
Because he likes that stuff, too.
Probably.
All right. We like interviews with guys like Jason Adam. We have it for you right after we check.
No traffic today.
There's no traffic today? It's Good Friday,
it's 2 p.m.
That's right. We're okay. We don't get it till next hour.
Yes.
But we do get Jason Adam now. And it is about time this show gets a little relief. So we go to the bullpen. We call in the right-hander. Jason Adam is our Friar Friday guest today. We're happy to have him from Houston, where the Padres play the Astros tonight. Jason, how are things?
I'm great. Can't be bad after a dad joke like that.
Yes.
After a bad joke.
Dad joke.
I would never defame your jokes. Never.
Well, that's okay. I'm used to that happening, but thanks, Jason. We appreciate
you and
it.
Me both.
Hey, right now, I mean, everybody is gushing over how good the Padre bullpen has been. We're doing it. Writers around the country are doing it. Websites, everything's, you know, pointing to the Padre bullpen and how great you guys have been. What do you think when you hear all that stuff? And I know it's not going to get to your head, but do you take some pleasure, pride in hearing all of this right now?
Yeah, of course. I mean, of course we appreciate it. At the same time, we realize, I think everyone in that bullpen, when we go out there, we expect to do our job, and our job is to put up a zero and keep our team in a place to win a ball game. So we obviously appreciate and welcome all positive press. But at the same time, we have a lot of season left. We got to keep building off of what we've done so far and keep continuing to make good pitches and trying to do our job.
Yeah, to the end, you mentioned putting zeros up. I felt you were pretty much the most automatic zero I've seen coming into the Padres in some time. But you did give up a run the other night to the Cubs. Now, you picked a good game to do it. You were way ahead. Does that even affect you at all? Were you happy to get right back out there the next night and put up another zero, or did that really matter?
Yeah. Yes and no. Obviously, as long as we win the ball game, we're all happy.
Yeah.
I think the way to ensure that is for it to always be a zero. I think, there were some things I was displeased with that outing. As far as my choice on pitches, I called a few pitches that in hindsight were the wrong call. So that you can lose a little sleep over that and be like, what are you thinking? But at the end of the day, the process is to go out there and get ahead of hitters and put them away and try to have my best stuff every night that I can have. So I think I didn't lose too much sleep. I was glad we won. Glad, like you said, it was a good game to give up a run and now try to stay on track.
Talking to Jason Adam here on 97.3 The Fan for Friar Friday. And I was going to actually ask you about your approach to pitching. Do you use a lot of analytics, or do you go in there and you start throwing to the guys and you're like, hey, I need to use this pitch instead of this pitch? Or is it a mixture of both? Or how do you do it?
So I like to use the analytics when I'm throwing my bullpen so I can see how my stuff's moving. And then once I know my stuff's in a good spot, or even if it's not, I know what I'm going to battle with. It's all about kind of trying to be unpredictable and following our catchers. Our catchers here do an incredible job game planning. Ruben does a great job game planning. Peter, everyone that's involved does an awesome job game planning, and I lean on them for that. They're a lot smarter than I am, so my job is just to try to execute the pitch that they think is right.
And to kind of expand on that, I was looking through your StatCast page earlier today, and I saw that you used your changeup a lot more this year than you've used it in the past. Is that just something that happens, or is that by design? How do you decide something like that?
It's not necessarily a decision. It's based on circumstance a lot. I think it is definitely my best pitch, so I do lean on it. And I think there's also factors like I was, especially early, falling behind guys a lot. So the count dictates what pitches I throw. You know, if I'm getting ahead with different pitches, I'm going to be putting away with different pitches. So not really intent. I didn't come into the season saying I'm going to try to bump my changeup usage to 60% or whatever. It's just I fell behind some guys, and so what am I going to throw? I'm going to try to throw a changeup or something off speed.
Jason Adams is with us, part of this great Padre bullpen, part of this great Padre start, let's be honest. 15-4 is an incredible start to the season. And Jason, we've talked to you several times before, but I think it bears repeating because I love the story of how you came about to throw the ball in a shot put style where it almost touches your ear before you let it go. I think it's a story maybe not everybody is aware of. You had some arm problems, and this was just the way it got fixed. I think it's incredible, actually.
Yeah, I'm very thankful. So I had, like you said, like 3 years of arm trouble where I couldn't get healthy. And so I just kind of talked to Garvin, was our pitching coach in rehab with the Padres, actually, in Arizona. And I was like, can I try this? And he's like, yeah, whatever, man. At this point, do whatever you want. And I just put the ball by my ear, stepped in through, and it felt fine. So I was like, okay, I'll try that again. I just kept working my way longer and longer distances and higher intent from my ear. And I was like, yeah, I guess this is just how I'm going to throw now because it's the only chance I have to really ever play again.
Glad you did it, Jason. We really, really
you
are.
You and me both.
Yeah. You're from the middle of the country, Nebraska, Omaha, and I don't know if that makes you a Peyton Manning fan or not. That was another terrible joke,
wow,
by the way.
Oh, wow, what a dad joke that was.
Another terrible joke, by the way. But now you're out here in Southern California. Differences, and how are you enjoying life on the coast, being as you were a Midwest kid?
I love it. So we call Kansas City home now. That's where I live most of my life after being born in Omaha, and we love it there. But there's honestly, San Diego has a bit of a Midwestern feel, but at the same time, 70 degrees every day, and there's a beach. So what's not to like? Everybody we've met in the community has been so, so kind. It feels like when we come here for a season, it feels like home. So we love San Diego life.
Talking to Jason Adam here on Friar Friday, 97.3 The Fan, Gwit and Chris. And last one for me, Jason. You, I would say that according to your stats page, here this is kind of a question from Matt Scraby, but according to your stats page, you've only pitched one game in Houston, and you did retire the side in order, I may add. But I wanted to ask more about pitching on the road. Is it different everywhere you go, or do you have to alter your mindset when you're on the road?
No, I mean, yes, and it's different in that you're getting used to a different bullpen, you know, seeing the game from a different angle. You know, every mound's slightly different, but other than, Cincinnati has the lowest, it's gotta be the lowest mound in the league. It feels
really?
Like you're throwing a flat ground.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
That's like a well-known, but outside of that, everything's pretty consistent across the league. It's different in the fact that you're seeing it a little different, but overall, same distance, same height, good pitches still tend to get out, and bad pitches tend to get hit.
Yeah, that's the problem with the big leagues. I mean, if you make you leak one out over the plate, man, these guys will remind you pretty quick just how good they are. Jason,
they
I want
will.
To fi- yeah, they will. I want to finish with this. We asked last week. We had on the show from the bullpen Alec Jacob, and I asked him. I said, "Who's kind of the funnest, craziest guy out in the bullpen?" He didn't hesitate. Yeah. He said Wandy Peralta. And a lot of us thought, really? Wandy Peralta? He didn't expand on that too much. Do you care to expand at all? He said he couldn't understand everything Wandy was saying, but he knew it was funny.
Yeah. He's just the truest sense of a bullpen human.
Okay.
I love Wandy. He's hilarious. He helps keep it light out there. And even on, you know, flights, everything. He's fun, man. He knows how to make a joke. Even like you said, even if it's Spanish, we don't know what he's saying. It's just the way he delivers anything. He's a good time.
Well, we always have a great time talking with you, Jason.
Awesome.
It's fun to have you on again, and we wish you nothing but a continued great success with the Padres. Like I've said, man, when you come in the game, I feel pretty comfortable. And
we all do, Chris.
Things are going well. Yeah, not I was even saying last year that sometimes I just use the restroom while he's pitching because nothing's going to happen when he's in there.
No.
But that's probably my third lousy joke of the interview. So let's
all of them 10 out of 10.
Thank you, Jason.
You know, actually, Jason Adam was on the big screen with Jeremiah Estrada telling dad jokes the other day. So he is.
Those weren't pretty either. Yeah.
He's an expert in dad jokes.
I like those joke
that's
segments.
My game. Yeah,
I like
that's
those.
That's
your
my
game.
Hey, thanks, Jason. Good luck. Have a good road trip. We'll see you when you guys get back.
Appreciate y'all.
Jason Adam, good dude, and appreciate him putting up with my poor jokes there. Been hanging around Scraby too long.
You know, that was the right guy for those jokes.
And that's why
I thought I could get him.
But he did, they did that thing on the board the other day.
Right,
where
they do a comedy bit. Yeah, it's kind of funny.
It is kind of funny, and I like those jokes. I like dad jokes. Padres do a good job of entertaining us on the scoreboard between innings.
You know, when you got the people in the press box watching, you know you're doing something good.
I normally do. That's normally what I do between innings is I watch the scoreboard. I get a kick out of people seeing themselves come up on the scoreboard. I mean, the reactions are somewhat priceless.
Did I tell you a couple weeks ago that someone was on the scoreboard and they drink a beer out of their shoe? And I guess this is a huge thing in the rugby world. But it was pretty disgusting. Even in all of my drinking days, I've never drank out of a shoe.
A boot maybe, but not a shoe.
I've never drank out of... I don't like feet, Chris. That's why I would never.
Quick note, Jason Hayward has been scratched from the Padres starting lineup tonight. A little, what'd you say, knee soreness?
Knee soreness.
He'll be replaced in left field by Oscar Gonzalez, batting seventh tonight in Houston. Back with hour number two, the final hour today of Gwen and Chris.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Crisello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr., of course, was with us a little earlier. He's getting ready for the broadcast, though, down in Houston. He and Jesse have the call shortly after 5 o'clock this evening. Ryan Gusto, a rookie right-hander making his second career start, pitches for the Astros against baseball's best hitting team. Yes, the Padres with the .276 team batting average, number one in baseball. By the way, Padres also have the second best team ERA in all of baseball, 2.56. Who do you think's ahead of them? Who's got a better ERA than the Padres so far? Only one team, obviously.
That's a fantastic question.
You want to take a shot at it here? I don't know if it'll come to you. They're 12-7 is their record, so they're having a nice season.
Not the Cubs.
It's not the Cubs. That if they were ahead of them, they would be behind now after that game today at Wrigley.
Is it? I'm not going to get it.
The Mets.
I would never have gotten
it. The Metropolitans have a 2.30 ERA. Padres 2.56. Cubs and Diamondbacks played earlier today at Wrigley. One of the crazy games you'll ever see, and that's even saying something for Wrigley Field. Cubs led 2-1 after six innings. Cubs scored 5 in the seventh to take a 7-1 lead. Diamondbacks scored 10 in the eighth to take an 11-7 lead. Cubs came right back with 6, and they won 13-11. Again, no confirmation yet, or maybe ever, on whether or not this is the first time a team's ever scored 10 runs in an inning and still lost the game.
I have been receiving messages.
But
people are trying to. There's no official one. It's like Google AI, and sometimes that's wrong.
Right.
Well, and I would never bring false information to the show, Chris.
I appreciate that.
Knowingly.
Something I always appreciate about you. You double check everything you say. I think somebody like Elias Sports Beer, somebody will have that stat at some point today. I just haven't seen it yet.
I'm gonna stalk Jason Stark's account because
he's the kind of guy that would know that.
Yeah,
very good. All right, we are going to hear a little now from the manager of baseball's
Daily
best
Gambit.
Team. No, bottom of the hour or next segment. I thought for Daily Gambit, unless we have something in that segment.
No.
You want to do Gambit now and then?
Well,
Schilt?
We always do Gambit. At 3 p.m. every day.
Then we shall.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in the Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. And I would like to apologize, Chris, for the tone that I just had with him. I've been talking to my therapist this week, Chris, and I feel like I need to be nicer to you. So I'm going to be nicer, and I apologize for that.
Who is your therapist?
I'm not going to give her name out.
It's the same one that works with Rory McIlroy's confidence.
I also talked to her about that.
You did, huh?
Yeah, she didn't have. She felt the way I felt.
All right.
Therapists are people too, Chris. They need therapy just like everybody else.
I love therapists. They've been very helpful to me in my life.
Yes, but I am trying to work on being nicer and not saying mean things. So I'm going to do that. All right. We didn't have any bets to review, so we're just going to make bets tonight. Is that right, Chris?
That's right. And we're going to start with the NBA play-in games. The Miami Heat, who unceremoniously sent my Bulls home the other night, will go to Atlanta tonight. Winner goes to the playoffs. Loser goes home. Heat is favored by 1 on the road. Find that a little surprising. Hawks will be the home team. Heat are favored. I'll start. And the Miami team I saw the other night will win this game.
Real question. Is Trae Young suspended for getting ejected?
No, not at all.
All right, I'm going to go Heat anyway.
You're going to take Miami also. Miami has the experience of the playoffs. Hero, Bam Adebayo, Wiggins. You know, everybody talks about Jimmy Butler going to the Warriors, but Wiggins came to Miami and He looked good the other night. All right, the second play-in game tonight, Memphis at home, -6 over Dallas. Dallas surprised Sacramento the other night. Memphis should have beaten Golden State, maybe, but the ref said that they screwed up a call at the end of the game. And we were talking about that yesterday. Yeah. Like, really? You're going to tell everybody that you basically cost Memphis the game?
Yeah. That is, I think they should stop doing that. It just creates anger. You're creating anger is what you're doing.
And you're creating a situation where people who might have bet $100K on that game are not going to be too happy to hear that they lost because you messed up.
And I will always say, once you put that money down, it's your fault if you lose your money.
I say that too, but people who lose money don't think that
way. No, they do not. They try to get revenge somehow.
Right. All right, what do you got? Memphis -6. Tough one.
Yeah, it is. I'm going to go... I mean, Dallas fans hate their own team.
Right.
I'm going to go Memphis.
It's in Memphis, so the Dallas fans won't have any say in this. But
okay.
I'm going to take Dallas just because I'm kind of rooting for Anthony Davis, and I'm rooting for Nico Harrison to get some relief. Which of the two games will there be more points scored? Simple. The Miami-Atlanta game or the Memphis-Dallas game? They both have the exact same over-under number. So which game will score more points? I will take Memphis-Dallas.
That does seem like a high-scoring game.
Seems like the Heat might play a little defense, but the Hawks don't play any. So that could be interesting.
I'm going to go with the Heat and the Hawks because the Hawks don't play any
defense. They don't bother. Tomorrow, Clippers open up a really exciting, I think, good matchup series against Denver. In Denver, Nuggets are 2.5-point favorites in game one over the Clip Joint. What do you like here?
Denver fired the coach, right?
They did.
I'm going to go with the Clippers.
Everybody, like you get the one tweet, everybody saying the Clippers are the team that might be able to make a run.
They're the hot run team?
They're kind of the hot team right now. I'm going to take the Clippers, +2.5. Tomorrow evening, Lakers, game one, hosting Minnesota. Lakers by 4 in game one. Tony's not here, so I can get away with taking Minnesota.
Minnesota.
I love the Ant-Man. I just can't help it. Don't really like Gobert all that much. I don't like the trade for Randall. But
Gobert started COVID, so that's why.
He did. What do you like here? Lakers at home, only giving 4.
Yeah, I'm going to go Lakers.
Lakers, he says. Tonight, pretty good pitching matchup in Texas. Dodgers, Rangers, the last two World Series champs, go head-to-head. Dodgers are favored on the road by 1.5 runs. Yamamoto versus DeGrom. What do you like here? I was going to say both teams are in first place, but they're not. The Dodgers are not in first place.
That's right.
The Rangers are, but not the Dodgers.
You know, I don't know. I'm going to just go Rangers because they're home.
Did you want to have like a NW? No wager?
No. I'll take Rangers. Trying to have them beat the Dodgers.
I'm going to believe in DeGrom tonight. I'll take the Rangers also. Padres, Astros, 9 runs over under tonight. You
over
got
under
two really rookie pitchers. I mean, Kyle Hart's far from a rookie age-wise, but he's a rookie experience-wise. So I say they were tonight. Two young pitchers over 9. 9's a lot. What do you think, Spirit?
I'm going to go under. I'm going to go like with a 4-3 game.
Okay. And our last wager includes this trivia question. What pitcher leads Major League Baseball right now in strikeouts?
I just looked at this yesterday.
You did, huh?
Well, I don't remember the name.
You should have an idea.
I don't remember. Is it Crochet?
It is not. This pitcher who leads Major League Baseball in strikeouts is pitching tonight, and his over-under is 7.5 Ks. His name is Cole Ragans.
Ah.
Pitches for the Royals. I bet you not too many people know that name.
I actually picked him as my Cy Young for AL Central.
Well, there was a good pick, potentially. He's in Detroit tonight against the Tigers.
Tigers.
7.5 Ks for Ragans. What do you think?
I'm going to go over.
He's had 10-plus in each of his last three starts. To very little fanfare.
Yes.
Right?
Very little fanfare.
Yeah, like if DeGrom did that, it would be on the headline somewhere.
Don't even
Corbin
start.
Burns or
don't even start. If one of the
like
Dodgers
that.
Did it.
Oh, goodness.
We would never hear the end of it.
I'll take under. I like the Tigers at home. All right, that's it. I come into the day 7-6 for the week. You're 6-7, so it'll all be determined by tonight's wagers. All right, we have Mike Schilt, who is on with the morning show. You know the morning show. That's the one with Ben and Woods.
Yes.
Pretty good show, I hear.
I love it.
I highly recommend it.
I know that Woods has an issue with me and a bobblehead, so I get...
You stole his bobblehead.
I did not steal the bobblehead. I get texts in the morning, did you steal Woods' bobblehead? I'm like, what the heck?
You did. It was right on his desk in his spot. And you walked over on your way out last night and took it home with you?
No, I left it here.
Oh, okay. All right.
I left it here. He's talking about the Jackson Merrill bobblehead, which was given to me by our boss, Adam Klug. I asked. I said, does anyone else want it? Am I okay taking this home? Adam says, make sure they can promote it, and then you can take it home. So that's what I did.
Woods, he stole your bobblehead. We got to get to break before he can answer. It's Gwen and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. Here's some traffic.
Traffic's not ready, unfortunately.
Soon you'll get traffic.
It'll be here.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Those of you on the YouTube chat just got to see Scraby jump out of a plane. You've done that more than once?
Twice.
That was your brother who was your tandem jumping with you.
Yes, he was my instructor.
And he thought it was hilarious that you hang on the side of the airplane for a while looking down before he allowed you to jump.
He knows that I don't
Thanks, brother.
He knows that I don't like heights.
Who would like heights from there?
Well, the difference is that you know you're safe because you have a parachute. So it's not like I'm hanging out of the plane with no parachute.
You know you got the parachute, but it's still
I'm telling
got
you,
to be quite the thrill.
A skydiving accident is less likely than you think.
Didn't say it was likely. Just say that I wouldn't want to be sitting on an edge of an airplane looking down at the ground, which is more than a mile or so away.
My 75-year-old grandpa did it, Chris.
And kudos to him, because I will not be joining you guys on that. We had a historical baseball game played earlier today, and we've been madly doing all this research, you know, behind the scenes here, trying to find out how to put it into historical perspective. And we have come up with some. The Cubs at Wrigley beat the Diamondbacks today 13-11. What was historical, the fact that the Diamondbacks scored 10 runs in the top of the eighth inning to take the lead, only to see the Cubs come back with six in the bottom of the eighth and win the game. The 16-run inning combined was the fifth time that's ever happened since, what was it, 1905 or something? I mean, this in 100 years, you haven't had an inning like that with that many runs scored. But what we were wondering was, has any team ever scored 10 in an inning and still lost? And the answer is yes. 1989, Kansas City Royals put 10 on the board in the first inning against the then Cleveland Indians. The Indians came back and won 15-13. Aaron Boone clubbed a home run in that game for the Tribe, current Yankee manager. It had also happened in 1989. The Pittsburgh Pirates put 10 on the board and lost to the Phillies. But still pretty historical thing today. You don't see it hardly ever, if ever.
And it worked for the Padres, so.
It helped the Padres a little bit because the Diamondbacks lost. Yes, that's right. Padres played the Astros tonight, kicking off a series. To that end, earlier today, Ben and Woods talked with Padres manager Mike Schilt on the manager's report, refreshed by EcoWater SoCal. Here are some of the things that Mr. Schilt let us in on. Number one, I think this is a pretty good question, actually, from Ben and Woods.
Well, they were trying to find in the roundtable something to, like, criticize, but there's nothing to criticize.
There's nothing to criticize. So what they said is, with everything 15-4, they asked Mike Schilt, is there anything you'd like to improve on?
You know, it's a game of a lot of moving pieces that we all know. And, you know, yeah, we have taken advantage of our time together over the last year plus, including spring training and, you know, continuity with, you know, a staff and players that breeds consistency. So, yeah, there's, you know, we always want to improve. It's a, you know, growth mindset. It's competition. There's always an area for something to be better. But, you know, as we continue to move this forward together, we do expect there to be some areas that, you know, are really, really showing up that are buttoned up. And I think that's taking place.
I can't tell you how much more convinced I am every single day that the mindset of this team is everything to this team.
It's like, not everything. You've got to have the ability to do and accomplish
things. Well, of course. I'm saying, like, to go through a long season and to understand where you're at as a team and what you need to do as a team and how you're going to do it together is very important.
It is. I also think other teams feel like they have the same thing, but they're just not having the same success yet.
Exactly.
So I don't think it's something that is alone for the Padres.
I agree.
But I also think, you know, Mike Schilt and this staff, again, coming back, Ruben, Victor, all the other guys beneath them, you know, I think has had a lot to do with this fast start because they've been able to just pick up where they left off and carry right over.
Was it you saying this the other day? I can't remember which one on the station said this, but they were talking about how, oh, it was during the roundtable, and Ben was saying when Ruben Niebla goes out to talk to a guy, he knows that guy. He knows what to say to that guy. It's not, they're not trying to find out how to deal with each other. They're not trying to figure out what words work and what don't. Like, he knows. He goes out there, he says his piece, and then he comes off, and then that guy usually gets the third out, and they come into the dugout.
That does seem to work more times than not. I think Ruben Niebla does one thing better than a lot of coaches. He listens. He meets somebody like, let's say, Nick Pivetta, sits down to talk pitching with Nick Pivetta, and he listens.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, he gains knowledge of how to deal with Nick Pivetta.
Puts him in the best spot.
That's why Niebla has been good. All right, Astros coming up tonight. What does Mike Schilt expect from the Houstonians?
Expected more of the same. We're not as familiar with Houston, but you know, we do have really, really good advanced scouting. The guys do a great job with that. You know, we have, you know, one of the few clubs that have really good baseball guys that go out and watch teams and use their eyes, and you know, they also use the information that's available now that's also beneficial, and we use the information as well in tendencies and different things along those lines. But we do our part being, you know, our preparation work, our staff really, really dedicated to the prep work, video, ton of video and research. And then, you know, day will be spent with a lot of meetings to collaborate it all and make sure we're bringing simple and actionable things to our players. And then we'll go play baseball and hopefully to compete and shake hands.
I like that.
Actionable.
Now you want to shake hands.
Oh, yeah.
That means you won.
You won, yeah.
Yeah, you don't shake hands on a loss. I would like, here's one of my little things. I don't think it's going to happen. I would like to get a hold of one of the cards, the index cards, that every fielder now carries out with them to the field. Like, you know, let's just say Fernando in right field.
Yeah.
If you notice, before every batter of the game comes up, pretty much.
Yeah.
He gets his card out.
It's either in his hat or pocket. Or
wherever, yeah. Looks at it, and that tells him where to position himself for that batter. I'd just like to see what one of those things looks like.
And like you said, I don't know what's on there. Give it to us.
You don't think we'll ever, I mean, it's like a football player leaving a playbook behind.
Yeah, it is.
You know what I mean?
Do you remember?
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't lose one of those index cards.
Was it a pro team that the catcher lost their pitch sheet on their arm and the other team picked it up and then gave it back to the team without using it because they didn't want to cheat?
Well, either that or they wrote it all down
and then gave it back to them to make it look good. Yeah, they're like, hey, here's your thing. We definitely didn't look at this.
Can't even tell you what's on it.
Yeah.
But just want to give it back to you.
I can't even tell you what's on it.
All right, last thing. We've talked about this. It's got to be the only remote negative that you can think of for the Padres right now, and that's the injuries. Especially the one to Jackson. I mean, this is a crucial guy that you do have to get back, and you'd like it to be sooner rather than later. Where does the health update stand?
You know what? He's improving. So, I mean, hamstrings, you know, any soft tissue stuff can be, you know, very finicky.
Yeah.
So we got to be very careful. You know, but he's, and to your point, yeah, he's definitely, you know, got his eye black on, ready to go, and hungry to go compete. But you know, right now he's got his focus channeled in areas he can do something about, and that's his rehab. And that so he's you know, getting to a point where he's doing some light jogging and start to get some strength back and do some things in the weight room. And we're also put together a plan for him and Lockridge and Crony. That, you know, whatever guys can do from a baseball standpoint, whether it's bunting, tracking, throwing, whatever they're able to do, they're doing in appropriate fashion. So when they get back, they're both mentally and physically ready to compete.
Okay. So Jackson's not on the road trip. So you know he's not going to play tonight, tomorrow, Sunday. Not going to play Monday, Tuesday.
Well,
not going
to
play
Wednesday. They could fly him out if they really wanted
Correct.
To.
But he's not going to. Here's my question to you. In the moment we have left before the break, do you think he'll be in the lineup next Friday night when the Padres host Tampa Bay?
If he's not, I don't even want to say it.
I tongue-tied you.
If he's not, it's going to be a problem.
I think it's going to be a problem because I don't think he'll be.
I think he will be.
Based on what I'm hearing, I'm expecting him not to be.
I think he will be. I think this is just a precautionary, let's make sure everything's fine.
The whole thing's been precautionary.
I'm
Apparently.
Fine with it until the next time he's available to come back and they're like, nope.
Ah, it's precautionary. Well, then let's get him uncautionary.
Hey, I'm happy with it happening in the first month of the season.
Yes, 15-4 makes it feel all better. Gwen and Chris, ahead of the ball game tonight and a big five next. And then Monday, Detroit is next for the Friars. Tigers, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday afternoon, next week. We will have very short shows, short segments, Monday and Tuesday, because the game comes on so early that we don't get much of a show next week, Scrape.
I know.
I know you're heartbroken. You don't seem to be. One last note from the...
That was a creepy laugh I just had, by the way.
Creepy Creeperton. One last note from the Cub Diamondback today.
You love game. This game.
I do, because a lot of crazy things happen. 16 runs were scored in the eighth inning, the highest scoring inning in the history of Wrigley Field. Diamondback scored 10, Cubs got six.
Now, that is cool because Wrigley Field's been around forever.
And they've had some crazy wild games.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't remember the game between the Phillies and the Cubs from the late 70s.
Oh, I was there.
No, you were not. The final score was 23-22. That was a game.
I kind of want to see a game like that.
Well, they show it on Major League Baseball Network
once in a while.
Right. Yeah. It was one of the wild ones.
That's how we thought the Mexico City games were going to go, but
yeah,
only one of them
much.
Did that.
Not
way.
Quite that much.
Went that way.
All right, if you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado, La Jolla. Dining takeout options, spiroscuisine.com. I really could use some traffic.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we got a little bit of time to stretch our legs, Chris, so if you would like to take long answers, you can.
Dumb thing to say.
Why? Because we
will? Because, you know, now the first answer will be like a half an hour, and then we won't have time.
That's true. That's
it's kind of like, to me, that's kind of like a professor giving you 2 months to write a paper.
Oh, I always did it the night before.
But I'm just saying, they give you that time, you go home, and you're like, I got 2 months, I'm not going to do anything tonight. Or tomorrow, or
actually,
the next day. Yeah, you're right. And then the day before, you write the paper.
I would actually go home, and I would be like, you know what? I'm going to get this out of the way. I write like a paragraph, and then I don't touch it again for a month and a half.
Yeah, don't give me 2 months. Just tell me to get it done.
Yes.
So it doesn't hang over my head.
Let's get into
number five.
And then a teacher, side note, and then a professor tells you that you... didn't do a great job on your homework and you smell like alcohol. Oh, wait, that's me. That's me. That's what was said to me.
That happened to you, yes.
Yes. They're like, did you stay up all night drinking to write this paper? And I said, no. Anyway.
I was drinking. I just didn't stay up all night.
Yeah, exactly. I passed out at some point.
Right.
So I was talking to a listener yesterday, or 2 days ago, and they were asking for us, Chris, as a show, to talk more SDFC. And I got back, and I went into a back and forth with them. It was very enlightening, actually.
Okay.
And I just got a few opinions from them. So I told them I would ask this Big Five question. What will it take for SDFC to be talked about like the Padres on our show?
Like the Padres?
I told them that was a tough thing because the Padres are always going to be number one.
They're going to be for the foreseeable future. I would say this. What it's going to take... I'm answering your question, okay, is for the MLS season to be late in the year to where you're starting to get some sort of hint of a playoff coming up.
True.
Because remember, the MLS season is only a month old, and it's going till November. So it's, you know.
It's a long, and they're only playing 1 week.
Really long. One game a week, it doesn't stay top of mind. One match, right. So what I was going to take is to be September, October, the Padres are out of it, having a bad year, and SDFC is, you know,
winning,
doing something historical.
Going towards a playoff spot.
Right. Otherwise, I don't think you're going to see SDFC pass the Padres in terms of interest in this town. Pretty hard for anything to come in the first year and beat out a franchise that's been here for 60 years. It's really not realistic. I don't think.
And this is what I told the person is like, most people, we're trying to talk about something that most people want to listen to, not what certain people want to listen to, and talking SDFC like it's the Padres would make people tune out because not everyone is a huge SDFC fan, but a lot of people are Padres fans.
Let's also say this: if we went to a show that opened with SDFC and focused around SDFC,
it wouldn't be as popular because there's not as many... Sorry, I put words in your mouth.
Yes, you are. What I was going to say is I would run out of things to say pretty soon. I can watch a match, and I have, and I've enjoyed them, and I've been rooting for this team. And when I don't have to pay extra to get past the Apple TV paywall, you know, I'm more than willing to be a, you know, get my soccer thing. I've been to a match. You and I went. I don't know enough to say that much. I you know.
It's hard to break it down.
It's a nice pass. It was a good-looking, you know, good-looking tackle on the play. And
incredible!
Yeah. Where was the yellow card when we needed one? I don't, you know, there's only so many things. I'm being honest about it. There are crazy soccer podcasts out there that I'm sure can break down those matches, you know, everything you ever wanted to know. There's but I agree with you in the end. I don't think enough people want to know that much.
There's we a soccer podcaster.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's a soccer podcaster out there. Two Balls, One Mike. That's what their soccer podcast is called. Tony Sanchez. He's a great guy.
All right. Well, listen to that.
Yeah.
And listen to our show for sure on Thursdays when we have the MLS broadcasters on from Apple TV, because I have really enjoyed every one of those interviews. And I'm, you know, looking forward now to the match tomorrow. Because we got SDFC, which wants to score and push the pace and try to create offense, against Charlotte, which doesn't really care if anybody ever scores and just wants to sit back and wait for you to make a mistake. So I think it's an interesting setup tomorrow, and I hope that our guys come out on top.
You know, I just want to say to the listeners who want us to talk more soccer, we hear you. We'll fit it in when we can.
I think we're doing okay. It is really still early in the season. Even the gentleman on yesterday.
Tony Husband
said, look, soccer's such a long year that you shouldn't even start thinking about it really till 10, 12, 15 games in. I mean, that was him.
Yeah.
That's who's the soccer guy.
Yes.
So let it breathe. I think we're doing well. The attendance, the excitement, the enthusiasm, all off to a really good start. And we will follow along with that as it continues to grow.
All right. Number four. New York Yankees second baseman Jazz Chisholm was ejected from last night's 6-3 victory against the Rays after disagreeing with a strikeout call from home plate umpire John Bacon. Chisholm, or whoever manages his social media account, didn't wait long afterward to air his frustration on social media, tweeting out, "Not even freaking close!" about 5 minutes after being sent to the showers. He later deleted that message, Chris. And if you can imagine, he did get in trouble for this by Major League Baseball. MLB announced today that he has been suspended for one game and fined for violating the league's social media policy for players. Yankees manager Aaron Boone said Chisholm was appealing the decision and would be in the lineup Friday night for the Yankees game against the Rays. So he'll have to serve that suspension one other game. I'm up first. Should he be suspended one game? Answer's no. I am so tired of these umpires getting so angry about someone calling them out for something.
Did the umpire get angry here, or did Major League Baseball get angry here?
Major League Baseball did, but the umpires hide behind Major League Baseball. I don't think that guys should go to social media and complain about everything, but when Jazz goes to social media after watching the pitch, knowing that he was right, Jazz was right, that's fine. Not even close is not that big of a deal to me. And I understand you're opening up it's a slippery slope because now everybody can criticize the umpires. But the umpires don't have any answering to do. They go back to their little room and they move on. I don't understand it. I'm really against umpires lately for some reason.
I'll only say this. I saw the at-bat. First of all, the first pitch was a strike that was called a ball. So Jazz got a break. And then the umpire, I think, went for the old makeup call, and that's what got Jazz called out. The pitch didn't miss by that much, maybe 6 inches. But if baseball doesn't stand behind the people who officiate the sport, same as NBA, same as NFL, they've got to stand behind these guys. We've got to believe that we have people doing this job that are A, competent, and B, are on the up and up. They're not trying to slight anybody in any way. They've got to at least try to keep that appearance up. Whether you want to believe it or not, they have to do it. If they look, we just talked earlier about the NBA, which is, you know, coming out and saying they screwed up the end of the Memphis Golden State game.
Yeah.
Do you like that better? I don't know that that's better.
I just want some sort of accountability.
Well, the NBA is making these guys accountable. They're putting them out there in front of everybody to say they missed four calls at the end of that game.
And
baseball umpires are being way more accountable than ever because people have these StatCast things that show their performance the next day.
Yeah,
I don't know what you want. I think what you want is if an umpire misses a call and it's clear and it costs a guy a game or something, that the umpire should be able to be suspended for a game.
No, I don't even want that. I just think that they should have to stand up after games and talk about some of the calls that they made. What, does it just go down as a mystery forever?
I know, but if you're going to dummy in a ball and a strike...
That's tough. You
want the guy to stand up after the game and say,
"No,
well, I thought it caught the knees. I'm sorry it missed by 4 inches.
I understand you cannot be doing ball strike conversations every single day. And also, I understand that you can't be tweeting during games. I'm not saying that players should be running back to the locker room and tweeting during a game.
It's not a good look. It's not a good look, and I think baseball's smart to try to stop it before it gets out of control. And, you know, when the umpire messed up the perfect game call on Galarraga several years ago, Jim Joyce,
yep.
First thing he did is go answer questions after the game. He stood right up. So it's not every single umpire that hides behind this. But as I've said, calls are going to be missed. The good teams just deal with it. You have to. Just like things in your life are not going to always go the way they're supposed to. The smart and good people handle it. The losers in society complain about it and let it affect them. Sorry, life lesson.
Everybody hates me on the chat for that take.
They hate you.
Okay. I will admit that it wasn't the best take in the world. I'm not afraid to say that.
Okay.
But I don't like it how umpires can decide games and then they can just hide in their little room.
But they're not really trying to decide the game. It's the very nature of what they do that a call, one way or the other, has the ability to decide a game. But I believe they're all doing their best, unless your name is Donahue.
The NBA referee that got caught cheating?
Yeah, he was the one.
Betting and all that stuff?
Right.
Next time I see Mike Winters in the box, the press box, do you think he's going to shun me because I've talked so bad upon umpires lately?
I think first he should punch you and then shun
Don't
you.
Don't punch me, Mike.
He wouldn't do that. He's too good of a
guy. I'm going to have a talk with him, though, and I'm going to ask
him about it.
I'm going to, because he's very open about talking about all this stuff.
He is, and he also has pretty good answers to most of it.
Okay. Number three.
I should stop looking into the chat because
that was
Greg. An L for me, Chris.
That's okay. Look at the
The fastest man in baseball is coming to George Steinbrenner Field. The Rays have selected outfielder Chandler Simpson from AAA Durham. Simpson is 24 years old. He stole 104 bases while leading the minor leagues with a .355 batting average in 110 games last season. After spending spring training with the Rays, he broke camp with AAA Durham, and he hit .301 with I'm not even going to do the math on that, with 8 stolen bases in 17 games. This was the guy that we did on the Big 5 a few weeks ago where he beat out a grounder to first base.
I remember it, yes.
So my question to you, Chris, is, and I hope you understand it.
Okay.
Is great speed at all levels?
Should be.
Okay.
There's two things you can't teach, as they say. You know, like coaching, right? You can work on certain skills and dribbling and passing and, you know, understanding. Can't teach height and you can't teach speed. I think people can get a little faster if they work at it. Not something you can just teach somebody. This guy's got incredible speed. The question will be, you know, can he get to first base? Because once he's there, he's going to be really dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's faster than, you know, and they, you know, use him as a pinch runner. But for the most part, he'll stick in the big leagues if he can hit and get on. If he's hit .355, right, you said last year?
Yeah, so in 110 games.
If he can do that, he'll be a big leaguer for a while. Vince Coleman.
He stole 104 bases, Chris.
Well, guys crazy. Used to steal 100 bases. Vince Coleman did it many times. Ricky did it all the time. It's a different world now, but he could steal a bunch. I mean, what did De La Cruz get last year? 60? Seemed like he was on pace for 100 for a while, and then he just fell off.
It's hard to steal that many bases.
No, they don't want you to anymore. It's just the way it goes.
The only reason I think, because I do think great speed is great speed at all levels, but I was thinking maybe because, you know, arm strength and catcher play is much better at the major league level, that the speed may be somewhat counteracted.
I think you bring up a good point, and I should have mentioned it, but now that you say that, I will. In the minor leagues, you can probably steal some bases with a bad jump just because you're so fast.
Yeah.
In the big leagues, you better learn how to get a good jump, because if you don't, the ball's going to be waiting for you no matter how fast you are.
You're going to be like Willie Mays Hayes coming up 1 inch short
right.
of the base.
Wait, why is the ball here? Because you're now in the big leagues.
I'm excited to see this guy play, though. I want to see what
it'll
it's all
fun.
About.
It'll be fun.
Except for he's playing in a AAA ballpark. But that's
and he's playing for Tampa Bay, which we don't watch very often. Oh, they're coming here, though.
I was going to say, they are coming here next Friday.
Yeah, okay. We might get a chance to see him then. Good.
Number two.
The draft is next week, the NFL draft. And we're starting to get a list of people out there, Chris, who are going to be there. And a couple of people have backed out, including Ole Miss quarterback Jackson Dart, who's been widely projected as anywhere between a first and a third round selection. Georgia pass rusher Michael Williams is also out. Maxwell Hairston is going to be at the draft. Still among the omissions, though, no one knows if Shedeur Sanders is going to be in attendance.
I don't know. Can you have the draft if he doesn't arrive?
According to Dion, no.
God.
I mean, it's first.
All about this guy, is it not? I know you hate this, too.
I
you do, because it's all become a... Shedeur is bigger than the draft right now, and that shouldn't be, right?
It shouldn't be.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be.
How about a little respect for all the rest of the guys that have worked their whole lives to get to this level?
I get it. Yeah. I get it.
You know?
I don't... My question is this. Would you go to the draft if you were most likely going in the first round? I was going to do something easy.
Oh, okay.
But yes, the answer is yes, I would go because that's fun.
I
wouldn't want to sit there for 28 picks like Aaron Rodgers did and look
angry
the entire time.
If it was questionable, yes, it might be a different story. But yeah, I would go. I don't... You know, Shedeur is the big attraction. I could get it when Caitlin Clark was the big attraction. I could get it when Beckers was the big attraction. I don't see the same level of standout for Shedeur Sanders.
I think
so. I'm coming around to your side of this a little bit, actually.
Well, Dion yesterday, Coach Prime, said the only reason there's an issue with Shador's number being retired is because his last name is Sanders. And I don't know that Coach Prime accomplished the goal that he was trying to accomplish, because everybody said, yeah, if his name wasn't Sanders, no one would ever be talking about retiring his jersey. I do think Shedeur Sanders can prove a lot of people wrong, and I'm really curious to see if that does happen, if he has the skill and the talent and the drive to prove people wrong. Because
two of the people he'll prove wrong are sitting right here. You and me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He can complete passes, but I don't know how he's going to handle the NFL level. So, all right. Final one. Chris, I know you wanted to talk about Aaron yesterday. Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Aaron Rodgers. He still doesn't know whether or not he's going to play for the Steelers. So okay. He's got some family issues going on right now. He's going to feel that out. He's going to determine that, fix that, and then he'll decide.
Okay. What do you want
me to do? I don't know what the question is.
Well, you don't have to ask me.
Okay,
question. Let's just talk about this.
Okay, good.
If you saw yesterday, he was on with Pat McAfee. If you didn't see it, there's a lot of stories on this. You can, you know, read everything he said to every question. First, kudos, Pat McAfee, who I don't give many kudos to, asked all the questions that we would like to ask Aaron Rodgers and don't get the chance to.
Well, he's paying him, so he better ask him.
Well, he did it, though.
Yeah,
so he you know, he didn't soft coat anything. And Aaron Rodgers said a bunch of stuff. He defended, you know, the fact that, he kind of made it seem like he was the victim of the Jets situation.
He did.
Which wasn't my favorite Aaron Rodgers moment of the day. You're not a victim, Aaron. You know, he goes, well, I flew cross country with my own money. And then they kind of blew me off. Yeah, welcome to the rest of the world, Aaron.
I know.
We are all going out of our way to try to get jobs, get relationships, get money. Get ahead. Get ahead. And oftentimes we are rebuffed without any, you know, fanfare at all. So, you know, this whole notion that I'm Aaron Rodgers and I deserve better, you know, treatment is not my favorite. So you can read about that and what the Jets said. And
well, here's what
Aaron Glenn basically told him to get the hell out of here because we don't really need a quarterback. And, you know, and Rodgers was mad because he flew. Well, he said he could have just told me that on the phone. But I don't look at Aaron Rodgers ever as a victim.
Aaron Rodgers was going to play victim no matter what they said. If they were going to walk in, if he walked in there and they're like, hey, Aaron, we want to celebrate you as we're shipping you out of town, he would have been like, that's offensive. I'm going to be offended by that. He said on Pat McAfee, Aaron Rodgers, this entire time I haven't felt like I owed anybody some sort of decision at any point. This is my life. I said things are different now. My personal life is different. I have stuff in the inner circle that I'm intimately close to that's really important to me. I've been upfront with them about all that and said, listen, if you need to move on, if you need to do something, by all means, do it. Nothing but love and respect if that's the decision that needs to be made. There's been no deadline.
If that is all true, if it's all true, then I'm on his side in this case. He has said he's 41. He said there's things in his inner circle, people that are in some really bad, you know, situations that he's trying to help them through.
Which is great.
And he's got to take care of that before he decides. And what he's apparently told the Steelers and everybody else is, if you can't wait, then don't. I think that's fair. I hate to ever be on his side. But in this case, I agree with him. If you're the Steelers and you don't want to wait, then don't get into bed with Aaron Rodgers. You know, go in another direction. That's what the Jets chose to do, and that's what the Giants chose to do. The Steelers seem like they're kind of hanging around. Why? Because they don't have any better options.
Exactly.
Right?
But so that's why he's going to get to do what he wants to do.
Yeah, he might, but he won't be the first player in the history to kind of get his way because of previous greatness.
Oh, yeah, that happens all the time.
It happens all the time, and I don't think he's alone. I don't think he's – it doesn't sound like – although, again, I take everything he says with a grain of salt. I do.
Me too.
He could be on ayahuasca at the time for all I know.
I saw the video. I don't think he was on ayahuasca.
But, you know, I take everything he said with a grain of salt because obviously he's going to portray himself in the best light. Why wouldn't he? It's him.
Oh, he's a master at
promoting himself. He's very good at that. And he said, the Steelers want me. I liked what I met Mike Tomlin and the whole thing. And
you
everything's
called DK a specimen?
He said, everything's good, but I'm not ready to make up my mind yet. So it's on them. And I would love it if the Steelers said, fine, draft yourself a couple quarterbacks and tell Aaron to take a hike. And it sounds like Aaron wouldn't mind taking a hike.
No,
and if that's, but I know that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, when that happens, he's going to be angry.
If it happens, he's going to be critical and he's going to want his way back in because I don't think, like most athletes, he can step away from the spotlight that easily.
It's not going to be easy for him. Last year, remember when he said he had a vacation during spring training or during mandatory camps and he couldn't move it because it's just like he just wants to do what he wants to do.
That kind of thing was really something that I could not support him on.
No. It's a mandatory thing.
Once you are with a team and you've agreed to be with a team, that team now becomes more important than you.
Yes.
Well, he didn't in that case. But this is a different case. He's not with a team yet. And he's told the teams, don't wait. So it's up to them. They want to wait, they'll wait.
Sorry.
We're not done yet, are we?
I know, I did the math wrong.
All right, stop the music.
I did. Can we play Illegal, though, real quick?
Okay.
KWFN and KWFN HD1, San Diego.
This is your Lars from the San Diego Padres.
You can hear the you.
The Padres play here on San Diego's number one sports station. 97.3 The Fan and Odyssey Sports Station.
A quick update on some baseball. I'm not going to talk about the Cub-Diamondback game anymore because you're tired of hearing about it. But it was crazy. If you're just tuned in, go online, look it up. Pay a special attention to what happened in the eighth inning. You're not going to see many eighth innings like that.
No.
Diamondbacks did lose in the end. That's good news for the Padres. The other story, Phillies Marlins tonight. Sandy Alcantara against the Phillies. Bottom of the first inning. Bryce Harper just hit a home run. And I've seen Schwarber, and I've seen, you know, other guys. I don't think I've seen one ever go that far deep into the second deck in Philadelphia before.
Really? Let me see.
So
this.
Look at the highlight of that when you get a chance. Harper hit one to the moon in the bottom of the first inning. 2-0 Phillies over the Marlins.
Oh.
Did you see it?
Yeah, hold on.
It's already up online somewhere.
MLB just put it up. I want to put it up on the stream.
Okay, put it on the stream, and then if everybody watch on YouTube, watch where this ball goes. Because we've seen Schwarber hit him deep, and, you know, the one that, hate to bring it up here, but the one Schwarber hit in the playoff against Darvish was
moonshot.
About as far as I've ever seen one, and it still is the longest one at Petco Park, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. This one looks further than that.
It does, but
I don't know what the official stat cast is on it.
All right, there we go.
All right, you can show it on the YouTube to the people. I want to look at it again just because it was something something to behold.
I got to do so much stuff to put a clip
just to
on
get
there.
A clip up on there on the YouTube.
But it's worth it because it's a long home run. So.
Yeah, this is pretty. Unless you're Sandy Alcantara's, you know, cousin,
all right.
You're going to enjoy watching this. Watch how far this ball goes.
It goes all the way up.
Look in the second deck, and then look at the back of the second deck.
Yeah.
Way in the back.
It says 418 feet, but I cannot believe that that's true. If that's 418 feet, then Fernando's home run, I mean, remember it was only 406 feet?
We've talked about it. I don't think the StatCast home run distances are right. There's certain balls that get hit so far. Yeah, I don't know how they come up with these numbers. That ball, now, it was a little higher and it was coming down.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, a Schwarber bomb goes out and keeps, look like it's going to keep going forever.
Correct.
But that was a long one.
That was. Bryce Harper, that guy.
All right, a couple of quick things. Padres, Astros, Sam Levitt will have updates on all this for you. But Jason Hayward was scratched from the lineup tonight. He was in the original starting lineup. Now he's replaced by Oscar Gonzalez. Some hamstring.
Knee soreness.
Thank you. Knee
you got
soreness.
Knee soreness, too.
I do. I have knee soreness, but, you know, I came to play anyway. With
see,
my
that's
knee
what
soreness.
We do. That's what we do.
We post.
We post.
You and I post.
You know, Adam, I'm going to call Adam on Monday and be like, Adam, my hamstring kind of hurts. Can I have the next 15 days off?
Sore back. That'll get you 10 days. Yeah.
Yeah, not
good. Must be nice.
Not good at all.
Must be nice. All right, how much more time do we have to... I didn't prepare anything for this segment because I thought we were done.
I did, too. What are you doing this weekend, Chris?
I'm going to go to the movies tonight.
What are you seeing?
I'm a little... not going to tell you.
You're not going to tell me?
No, it's a foo-foo movie.
No, just say it.
Yeah, it's too foo-foo. To foo-foo.
I don't even know what that means.
It means that, you know, I picked it knowing that my wife will really like it.
And can you just say the
name? And I think I'll be okay with it.
Can you just say the name?
No.
I don't even know what movies are out right now, to be honest with you.
Sure. Good point. I'm also going to watch some more Black Mirror episodes.
Chris started watching Black Mirror.
You turned me on to that, and I watched my first one last night. Apparently, Joan is what?
Not... Joan is awful.
Joan is awful, yes.
Yeah, I told Chris.
The reason I watched that or chose that one is because my mom's name was Joan.
Oh.
So I was drawn to that title.
I love that show. It is weird. There are some episodes that are
weird. Well, I've only seen one, so I'm not ready to give a total review. But I think that it aims to be similar to The Twilight Zone.
Yes.
And after one episode, it's not The Twilight Zone yet. But I'll give it some more chances.
Jack says you are going to see Made in Manhattan.
Is that a new movie? No. That's like a 35-year-old
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, it's old.
All right. Sammy Levitt's coming in. Padre pregame show. We'll be back Monday, but only for a short time. So don't be late Monday, 2 o'clock, to wrap up the Padres trip over the weekend. Tony, Scraby, it's Chris.